How fast can a Galilean woman run? Well, they have to be the fastest running women on the planet, and then some, if Christ died in the ninth hour, the 3 p.m. hour, if the Jews went and found Pilate after that and besought that the legs be broken so that they would hurry up and die before the Sabbath, and if after that Joseph went and besought the body of Jesus, which was still on the cross, and if then came Nicodemus and bought 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes and a linen cloth, and then they took the body of Jesus down from the cross, carried it to Joseph's tomb, prepared the body, completed the burial, and rolled the stone in place, and the women watched all that, and then went and bought spices and prepared them before the beginning of the Sabbath, so that they could rest on the Sabbath according to the commandment. If Christ was crucified on Friday and the Sabbath began at 6 p.m. of the same day. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. There's overwhelming Bible evidence pertaining to Good Friday and Easter Sunday. The clincher that there's no way that Jesus could have been crucified on Friday, as in Good Friday, is John chapter 12 and verse 1. It says that Jesus came to Bethany from Ephraim 6 days before the Passover. Now the distance from Ephraim to Bethany is about 18 miles. That's some crucial evidence to keep in mind. Look at John chapter 11 verse 54. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. Now look at John chapter 12 and verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. The Passover is always the 14th day of the first month. It was established in the book of Exodus. Let's go back and read the entire context beginning at Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now to repeat, the clincher that Christ could not have been crucified on Friday is the verse in John 12 and 1. The Bible says that Jesus came to Bethany 6 days before the Passover. Look at Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 5 in the law of Moses. In the 14th day of the first month, at even, is the Lord's Passover. 6 days before the Passover, which is on the 14th day of the month, 6 days before the 14th would be the 8th of the month. So, if the 14th day of the month had been on Friday, as religion believes, then 6 days before that would have been on Saturday, which is the Sabbath, which would have made it impossible for Jesus to make the 18-mile trip. He couldn't have traveled from Ephraim to Bethany on the Sabbath day. Look at Exodus chapter 16 and verse 29. See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, Therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So what is a man's place? Well, it's something called a Sabbath day's journey. Look at Acts 1 and 12. They return they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. So a Sabbath day's journey looks like perhaps about a half a mile, maybe 3,000 feet. Not very far, and certainly not the 18 miles from Ephraim to Bethany. So there goes the religious tradition of Good Friday. There's no such thing in the Bible. And here's another point. If Christ was crucified on Good Friday and rose on Easter Sunday, like we said, those women from Galilee had to be the fastest running women on the planet, Luke 23, verse 55. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested on the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now Mark 15 says that the same women were there at the tomb, and they were watching when the stone was rolled in front of the opening. That would have finished the burial of the body of Jesus, because a person is not buried until he's buried. Mark chapter 15 verse 46, and he brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid. Now notice what it says in Luke 23 verse 54, and that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. Drew on is the word for dawn. The word in the Greek is epiphoski, dawn. To the Jews, there was the dawning of the new day, which occurred at the setting of the sun. In other words, at twilight. The basis for that is the very first chapter in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis, in the account of creation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 5, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Verse 8, and God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And verse 13, and the evening and the morning were the third day. Since the new day, which was a high day, it was a Sabbath, was dawning at the very time Joseph and Nicodemus rolled the stone in place over the mouth of the tomb, the women would have had to run at the speed of light in order to get home and prepare the spices before the Sabbath, if there was only one Sabbath in that particular week. Now, as we go through the study, we know that the Lord's Passover is always, without exception, on the 14th day of the first month. That'd be true no matter which day of the week it fell on. But we also know that the regular weekly Sabbath is always from sundown Friday until sundown on Saturday. Now, what most people don't know is this. The word Sabbath neither means seventh, nor does it mean Saturday. Sabbath is not the word for seven, and it's also not the word for a day of the week. It's not the word for Saturday. It simply means rest. Strong's Concordance literally says intermission. Now look at how the word's used. Look at Exodus chapter 16 and verse 26. 6 days ye shall gather it, the manna, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. So it's not saying on the seventh day, which is the seventh. It also isn't saying on the seventh day, which is Saturday. It simply says on the seventh day, which is the rest, which is the intermission. Look at Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3. 6 days shall work be done, But the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So you see, it doesn't say the seventh day is the seventh. It says the seventh day is the intermission, the rest. The word rest in the passage is sabbatism. In other words, a day of rest. Now, I said all this just to point out that we need to understand that there was more than one Sabbath day involved in the account of the Passover and the crucifixion. Jesus prophesied that he would rise from the dead after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. How could the space of time from Friday at sundown to Sunday at sunrise allow for what Jesus said to be true, that he would be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights? Well, the answer is there's no way. He could not have possibly been in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights if he was crucified Friday and rose Sunday. So there's an error. Either Jesus was wrong and made a false prophecy, or else the vast majority of the denominational religious system is wrong. Well, the Bible proves that religion is wrong and God's right, and the evidence is overwhelming. Look at Leviticus 23 again, verse 5. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover, and on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. So we see from the passage then that the first day and the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread are annual Sabbaths. They're not Saturdays, but Sabbaths. The Passover is always on the 14th day of the first month, and the first day and the last day of the feast is always on the 15th and the 21st day of the first month. Now, in our study, we're only concerned with the one of the first day of the feast, the one on the 15th day of the first month. But the Passover was a holy day to the nation of Israel. It was the day in which they commemorated that the blood of the lamb placed on the doorpost of their houses resulted in the death angel passing over them and keeping them alive, as all the firstborn in Egypt were slain and the children of Israel were delivered from bondage in Egypt. It was a day of preparation. Luke 23, verse 54, and that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. Look at Exodus chapter 12 and verse 41. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is the night of the Lord to be observed all the children of Israel in their generations. Now notice what happens at the mock trial of Jesus in the book of Matthew, in Matthew 26, beginning at verse 59. Now the chief priest and the elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. So they decide he's guilty of death. Now watch what happens after Christ is crucified and buried in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 62. Now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, After 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, He's risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, You have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. So all of the account in the book of Matthew shows that Jesus clearly taught that he was the Messiah, and that the major sign, the sign that outshines all signs that he is, would be that 3 days and three nights later he would rise from the dead. Now, if you understood that the Lord meant that within 3 days and three nights he would rise from the dead, then any period of time within that period would fulfill that requirement, wouldn't it? But he taught that after 3 days and three nights, not during, that he would rise from the dead. That makes it necessary that the crucifixion would have taken place on Wednesday, and that the nighttime followed by the daytime periods of Thursday, Friday, and Saturday would be 3 days and three nights. Pilate allowed them to post a watch at the tomb. That was done on the day after the preparation. The preparation is the 14th day of the first month, the day of the Passover. They would have made sure that all leaven was removed from their houses. They were observing the Passover, and they were prepared for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which began on the high day, the annual Sabbath, on the 15th day of the month. So Pilate's orders were probably carried out in the early morning of the 15th day of the month, the day following the crucifixion. The text of John chapter 19 shows that the body of Jesus had to be removed from the cross because the Sabbath was about to begin. Look at John 19, verse 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. And that is totally consistent with all the other verses that state that it was the day of preparation, the day of the Passover, in which Christ was crucified. So all that's left for us to determine is whether the annual Sabbath and the weekly Sabbath, the regular weekly Sabbath, could have fallen on the same day, which if they did, that would lead to the conclusion that Christ died on Friday afternoon, shortly after 3 p.m., or the ninth hour of the day. But if the two Sabbaths are not on the same day, then Christ had to die some other day of the week. Now, let's gather the evidence from all four Gospels and get a complete picture, and then put it all together, and then make some observations. From John 19:31, we already see that it was the day of preparation and that the Sabbath was coming on. Now look at verse 39. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. And then in the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 59, and when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Now go to the book of Mark. Watch Mark chapter 15, beginning at verse 46. And he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulchre which was hewn out of a rock and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. and Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. Now look in Luke chapter 23, verse 54. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on, and the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned, and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day, according to the commandment. So, all of the evidence here combines to give us a complete picture of what happened after the death of Jesus, how his body was prepared for burial, who did it, and who saw and observed what was going on. Notice that none of the passages by themselves give you the whole picture. You have to read them all together to get the whole picture. But here's the summary. Number one, Joseph took the body of Jesus after Pilate gave him permission. He bought a linen sheet and with the help of Nicodemus bound the body. Nicodemus had brought 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes, which they buried with the Lord's body. Joseph's new tomb was near the place where Christ was crucified. He had carved it out of the rock, and it had never been used. Now, number two, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, accompanied the body from the cross and watched the entire process of the burial. And when the Lord's body was laid in the tomb, Joseph, assisted by Nicodemus, rolled a large stone in front of the opening and left. Finally, the two Marys left and prepared spices and perfumes before resting on the Sabbath. So up to this point, you don't see any particular evidence that would contradict the traditional religious view that there's only one Sabbath and that it must have been Saturday following the Friday crucifixion of the Lord and a Sunday resurrection. But watch closely at this next series of verses here. Look at Luke chapter 23 and verse 56. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested on the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now go to Luke 24 verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. Now look at Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Now look at Mark chapter 16. Look at the verses there. Mark 16 and 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Now, add to all this the evidence in the book of John. John chapter 20 and verse 1. In the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord's body out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they've laid him. Now, notice the Mark 16 verse again. The spices were prepared by the women who had watched the body of Jesus being laid in the tomb. But notice that Mark 16 says that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary brought spices after the Sabbath and prepared them. Look at Mark 16, verse 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Luke 23 says, the women prepared the spices and then rested on the Sabbath. Luke 23, verse 56. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now, people might misunderstand Scripture. People might fail to rightly divide the word of truth. People might see contradictions, but there's no contradiction between those two verses. You see, there was an annual Sabbath on Thursday because it was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That day was a high day. Then there was the second Sabbath, the regular weekly Sabbath, on Saturday. We know it's the same women because all the Bible verses say that Mary Magdalene was involved in all the events. There are two other Marys mentioned, Mary the mother of James and the other Mary, the mother of Joseph. But in all cases, Mary Magdalene is always involved. So there are two things. Number one, the women saw the body of Jesus being laid in the tomb on Wednesday afternoon, Passover afternoon, just at the beginning of the high day, the Sabbath, which is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They rested on the Sabbath day, Thursday. Then they purchased the spices on Friday after the high day Sabbath. They prepared the spices on Friday and then rested according to the commandment on the weekly Sabbath on Saturday. And number two, they evidently intended to anoint the Lord's body with the spices after the weekly Sabbath. So these verses show that the Passover day of the Lord's crucifixion was on a Wednesday, and that the Lord did exactly as he had said, which was to rise again after 3 days and three nights. So what's left now is to determine whether the loaves, Friday after the high day Sabbath, they prepared the spices on Friday and then rested according to the commandment on the weekly Sabbath on Saturday. And number two, to anoint the Lord's body with the spices after the weekly Sabbath. So these verses show that the Passover day of the Lord's crucifixion was on a Wednesday, and that the Lord did exactly as he had after 3 days and three nights. So what's left now is to determine whether the Lord rose as the weekly Sabbath was in sundown on Saturday or at sunrise on Sunday morning. Now you'll notice as you read the four accounts of the four Gospels that Mary Magdalene and the disciples went to the tomb a number of times. In some instances it was still dark, and in some it was already light. Now, it wasn't until it was light on Sunday that they actually discovered that the Lord had risen. And number two, John chapter 20, verse 1 and 2 shows that the first visit by Mary Magdalene was when it was still dark. Look at John 20 and 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Away out of the sepulchre. So at this time, she doesn't know that the Lord is risen. She just knows that his body's missing. There's one verse which goes early on Sunday. I say it seems to say, because when you consider all the evidence, you see that that's just not the case. And that's what we have to do. Consider all the evidence. Here's the verse that seems to support the Sunday sunrise tradition of religion. It's in Mark chapter 16 and verse 9. Cast seven devils. But does the phrase apply to his appearance to Mary or to his resurrection. When you take all the evidence, you see that Jesus was already risen early the first day of the week when he appeared to Mary Magdalene. Let's look at the four accounts. Luke 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others pulled away from the sepulchre. Now notice in this account that they don't see the Lord, but the stone is already rolled away, and the tomb is already empty. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And in the Matthew account, it's also early, the first day of the week, and they see the angel. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 5, And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. The Mark account mentions the sunrise, but keep in mind that the tomb is already roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre. It was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Now, the John account tells of Peter and John going to the tomb, tell them the Lord's body is missing. Notice that the women had already been to the tomb. It was yet dark. That is, it was before sunrise, and the tomb was already empty. John chapter 20 and verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. So the women run and tell Peter and John, and then Peter and John arrive, verse 4. So they ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre, and he stooping down and looking in, Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen. From all we've seen, the women visit the tomb both before dawn and again at or after sunrise, and in either case the tomb is already empty. The Lord's not there. He's already risen. So the so-called sunrise resurrection that some claim that the verse Mark 16 and 9 seems to support just doesn't exist. There goes the whole religious tradition, both of Good Friday and Easter sunrise. Now, why didn't the two Marys try to anoint the body of Jesus on Friday, the day after the High Day, or the annual Sabbath, which occurred the day after the Passover? The Bible says they bought the spices and prepared them. Well, the answer is because of this. Matthew chapter 27, verse 65, Pilate said unto them, You have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. In other words, Pilate had delegated soldiers to guard the tomb for 3 days, and had even put the official seal of the Roman government on the stone. The disciples were all in hiding, so the only people to anoint the body of Jesus would have been the women, but even they couldn't do it until after those 3 days for fear of being arrested by the Romans. So the spices were evidently never used to anoint the body of Jesus. Recall also that Nicodemus and Joseph had already wrapped the Lord's body with 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes at the time they placed him in the tomb. So here's the summary. Jesus ate the Passover on Tuesday evening. He was crucified on Wednesday and died at about 3 p.m. The Jews, wanting to be sure that the bodies of the crucified men not remain on the cross after 6 p.m. because that was the beginning of the High Day, the annual Sabbath, they sought to have the legs of the men broken so that they'd go ahead and die quickly. But when they came to the body of Jesus, he was already dead, so he was buried just about the time of the beginning of the Sabbath. His body was placed in the grave, and he was in the grave for 3 days and three nights, just exactly as he had prophesied. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, and he was in the grave for 3 days, exactly as he had prophesied. Was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so was the Son of Man 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He rose from the dead Sabbath, or Saturday, just at the dawning, beginning of the new day. In other words, about 6 p.m. Finally, he revealed himself to Mary Magdalene and the disciples on the first day of the week after sunrise. Now, some people question a couple of verses. One of those verses is where Jesus said that he would rise again on the third day. The answer is that he did rise again on the third day after he was crucified, after 3 days and three nights. He rose from the dead late on the Sabbath, late on Saturday afternoon. This was 3 days and three nights crucified. It was also the third day, the first day being Thursday, the second day being Friday, and the third day being Saturday. Now, does Luke chapter 24, verse 21 confuse it, or does it clarify the issue? It clarifies it. Look at Luke 24, verse 18. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which have come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. The third day since. In other words, Sunday was the third day after the day in which these things happened, when the chief priest and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and he was crucified. Now, there's just one more thing to show you here. How fast can a resurrected body travel? Look at the answer. John chapter 20, verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Now the Mary in the verse is Mary Magdalene. Remember that there are three Marys involved, but Mary Magdalene is always present in all the accounts. Now look at this. The Matthew account has some slightly different details. In the John account, it was yet dark when Mary went to the tomb. She ran to tell Peter and John the Lord's body was missing. They came to the tomb, looked, and went away to their own home. But Mary remains, standing outside the tomb, and the Lord appears to her. But he tells her not to touch him, for he has not yet ascended to the Father. Now look at the Matthew account. Matthew 28, verse 8. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. So, on the path to take the news of the resurrection to the disciples, Jesus met them, and they held him by the feet and worshipped him. He has already ascended into heaven, appeared before the Father as the head of the church, which is his body, and he comes back before the women can make the trip from the tomb to where the disciples are, and they hold him by the feet and worship him as the heir to the throne of David, the king of Israel. So, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so Jesus was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and he was raised again with the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, and ascended up to the right hand of the Father in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, all things under his feet, and the head of over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Thank you, Daryl. Well, guys, instead of doing a song or anything, we've kind of run over time. It's already on the lunch hour here, so I think I'm just going to click it shut. Thanks, everybody, for coming. Grace and peace, and the Lord willing, we'll do it again tomorrow. We're still talking about those fundamental errors, and we'll be talking tomorrow on the topic of all believers are supposed to follow Jesus. Okay? That ought to be a good study. Grace and peace, everybody. See you later.